more.
Glorious day, fellow traveler. Welcome to Science and God with Dr. G. That's me, Dr. Michael Gillen, physicist, astronomer, mathematician, and Christian. That's right, living, breathing evidence that science and Christianity are not mortal enemies, but good friends. Actually, an awesome power couple.
Details are really important to me. You know, they're the lifeblood of both science and journalism. That's why years ago when I first read the Bible, and I was struck by the details. Now, the Bible is chock full of specific names, dates, and places. You know, and such details lend credibility to the Bible. Every year, historians and archaeologists confirm the existence of some biblical person, place, or event. But then you have details like these. Listen, according to Genesis, quote, Adam lived 930 years and then he died, unquote. We're also told that Methuselah lived to be 969 and his grandson, Noah, 950. Come on, let's be honest. These ages are so far out, they naturally make you wonder if the Bible is just a book of fables, right? A book of bigger-than-life characters like Paul Bunyan and his blue ox babe. Is it possible that Adam, Methuselah, and Noah actually lived that long? More than 900 years, really? Well, that's the question I want to tackle on today's journey, so let's get started. First thing, if you've been paying close attention to our journeys, and I know you have, you know that time is not an absolute truth. It's a relative truth. In one reference frame, Adam lived for 6 years. In another reference frame, 6,000 years. Now, in this case, we're in luck. Because when it comes to human lifespans, the Bible clearly speaks from an earthbound reference frame. Okay, nothing weird, just a regular earthbound reference frame. For example, in Psalms 90:10, it makes this statement about the average human lifespan. Quote, our lives last 70 years, or if we're strong, 80 years, unquote. Bingo. In fact, today's average human lifespan is 73 earth years old. So, when the Bible claims that Adam, Methuselah, and Noah lived to be 900 plus, we can be confident it means 900 plus earth years. All right, just wanted to get that out of the way. Second thing, according to the Guinness Book of Records, the oldest person who ever lived was a French woman born in 1875. Can you imagine? She lived to be 122. That's 49 years longer than the average. That's also 2 years longer than Moses lived, by the way. That's why even today, Jews commonly bless their friends by saying, may you live to be 120. So, here's a question. Was Adam average for his time? Or was he one in a billion? You know, like that French woman. Well, the short answer is we don't know. You see, to estimate the age of a dead person, we need to dig up their skeleton and examine the wear and tear on their teeth and bones. That's how we can tell roughly what their age is. Now, in order to calculate an average lifespan from a certain period of time, you need to dig up a lot of skeletons from that time period, which we haven't done. So, for now, we can't say if there's ever been a time when 900 years was the typical lifespan, or one for the record books. But what we do know is this. There have always been outliers. There have always been people who defied the odds and lived to a ripe old age. For example, in ancient Greece. You know, back then, the average life expectancy at birth was somewhere in the mid to late 20s. But Socrates was an outlier. He tripled that. He lived to be 71 and would have lived longer if he hadn't been sentenced to death. Third thing, the lifespan of an organism, not just humans, but any organism, doesn't just depend on things like nutrition or sanitation or, you know, life-saving medications. It also depends on DNA. Small differences in DNA, now listen to this, can have huge consequences on lifespan. For example, the majority of a fruit fly's DNA, about 60% of it, is identical to human DNA. That's right. Yet, a fruit fly lives for only 40 to 50 days. Big difference between that and 73 years, right? Even within human DNA, a tiny defect can have huge consequences. Take, for example, the genetic disease progeria. Have you heard about this? People with progeria have DNA that is 99% identical to yours and mine. Yet on average, they only live to be 14. They age about 6 times faster than you and me. The disease is caused by a defect in a single gene that produces a protein called lamin A. Now, its job is to hold the nucleus of a cell together. Without it, without lamin A, the nucleus falls apart and takes the entire cell down with it. That's what causes progeria. Fourth thing, there are organisms alive today, right now, whose DNA empowers them to live for a very, very long time. For example, Greenland sharks, they live to be 300 years old and older. That's more than twice as long as Moses. Giant barrel sponges last 2,300 years. And by the way, get this, the DNA of a typical sea sponge is about 70% identical to human DNA. Did you know you were that much like a sea sponge? Big difference though, big difference. Black corals live to be 4,300 years old. They were around before Jesus was on the scene. And then there's my favorite, the immortal jellyfish. Listen to this, these jellyfish have the amazing ability to be born again, literally. When the jellyfish grows up, it has the power to rejuvenate its cells and become young again. And not just once, but over and over again. That's why they're called immortal jellyfish. Pretty amazing little creatures. But think about what this means, my friend. It means that DNA is capable of living for hundreds and even thousands of years. Let me repeat that. DNA, the molecule that controls all life on Earth, the key molecule in God's blueprint for life, has the innate power to live for an indefinite period of time. So yes, it's entirely possible that humans once lived to be 900 years old or even older. All right. Fifth thing. If Adam, Methuselah, or Noah did indeed live to be more than 900 years old, then clearly human lifespans have taken a nosedive. And not just human lifespans. Listen to this. Scientists from England and Finland recently studied the lifespan of little shrew-like animals that today live for about 2 years. They were shocked. Dumbfounded was actually the word they used, to discover that in prehistoric times, comparable creatures lived for about 14 years. That's roughly 7 times longer than they live today. So then, why have lifespans taken such a nosedive? Why don't these shrews live to be 14 anymore? Why don't you and I live to be 900 anymore. You know, given the sensitive relationship between lifespans and DNA, it could mean that our DNA is no longer operating at its full potential. Think about it. Adam's DNA was brand new, hot off the press, so to speak. And so was Methuselah's and Noah's. But then came the great fall, and then the great flood, and everything started going downhill, including lifespans. By the time we get to Abraham, the Bible reports that people are living only into their hundreds. Abraham, remember, lived to be 175. And Moses, like I just said, lived to be 120. That's a far cry from 900. In other words, our DNA has taken a real beating since the time of Adam, Methuselah, and Noah. You know, like a car left out in a hailstorm. But is there any scientific evidence for this supposed genetic degradation? Yes. Yes, listen to this. When we look closely at our genes, we see something truly fascinating. Because deep within our DNA are the remnants of viruses that have attacked us over the years. These bits and pieces of ancient viral DNA are a tangible record of the degradations, of the imperfections our DNA has accumulated since the time of Adam, Methuselah, and Noah. And get this, this ancient pollution is not entirely dormant. Today, science is discovering the possibility that even now, my friend, this viral DNA is still afflicting us. Listen to how one scientific publication puts it. Quote, increasingly, we are waking up to the possibility that conditions including multiple sclerosis, schizophrenia, and even type 1 diabetes may, in some cases, be triggered by ancient viruses buried in our genomes. Under certain circumstances, they revive and start producing mutated versions of themselves, triggering the immune system to attack and destroy neighboring tissues, unquote. How about that? Wow. Biblically speaking, in other words, it seems we're still suffering the devastating consequences of the great fall and the great flood. I know, all of this sounds a little depressing, yeah? But take heart, my friend, because according to science and the Bible, there's hope for better days ahead. Listen to this. First, science. According to our best historical data, human lifespans began really improving at the start of the 20th century. You know, back in 1900, the average human lifespan was only 31 years. Today, thanks mostly to better infant survival, sanitation, and medicines, it's up to 73 years. That's an increase of more than 40 years, four decades. That's huge. And that's just for starters. You know, years ago, I did a segment for Good Morning America on a company called Calgene. I'm not sure if they're still around or not. But back then, their scientists made headlines by discovering the gene that causes a tomato to rot and die. They called it the aging gene. By literally reversing the genetic code of that aging gene, these scientists were able to create a long-living tomato called the Flavor Saver Tomato. If you're interested in more details, check out my book, The End of Life as We Know It. I talk about it in there. Today, scientists are toying with the lifespans of even more complicated organisms. For example, Harvard scientists injected mice with three longevity genes. And within days, the mice became noticeably younger. Noah Davidson, you know, the lead scientist, put it this way, quote, The results we saw were stunning and suggest that addressing aging via gene therapy could be more effective than the piecemeal approach that currently exists." Unquote. Davidson was so pumped about the results, he left Harvard and co-founded a company called Rejuvenate Bio. It's in San Diego. The company's immediate goal is to increase the lifespan of dogs. After that, they hope to apply their results to humans. So stay tuned, right? Far from discrediting the Bible, then, modern science is now validating the Bible. It's validating the idea that someone could very well have lived to be as old as and even older than Adam, Noah, and Methuselah. In fact, there's even a biomedical philanthropy called the Methuselah Foundation. Look it up. It's on the internet. And its motto is making 90 the new 50 by 2030. Imagine that. Finally, the Bible. Like science, it too offers hope for a longer life. But not just some measly 900 years or even 9 million years. Here's how the Apostle John puts it. Quote, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Unquote. Notice that word, eternal. But how can that be, you say? How can you live forever simply by entrusting your life to God? Well, because when you do that, my friend, when you entrust your life to God, when you surrender your life to God, you welcome his immortal spirit into your life. As John puts it, the Spirit alone gives eternal life, to which he adds, human effort accomplishes nothing. In other words, genetic engineering is fascinating and super clever, absolutely, and it might one day buy you centuries of extra life. But in the end, my friend, you're still gonna die. Your magnificent but polluted strands of DNA are gonna bite the dust. All science can ever do is prolong the inevitable. Human effort accomplishes nothing. In the end, the Bible explains there's only one way for you and me to live forever. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus proclaimed. "Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die."
Okay, that's it for now. Remember, this podcast is not a lecture series. It's a conversation. So now it's your turn. Comments, questions? I'm eager to hear from you. There's all kinds of ways you can connect up with me via my social media links in the show notes below. Till next time, I'm still Dr. G saying, I love science, I love God, I also love you, my fellow traveler. Thanks for listening.